Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be.
Can't
do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now, wonder what you tell me now. Stop fire!
color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. We are grateful. We are thankful on this 19th day of September 2022 that you have chosen to be here with us tonight. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. Grateful and thankful that you have freed up your schedule and you are here to learn a little bit more about Oneness Demand Leadership. And we want to just thank God once again for going and ordering each and every one of our steps, asking that he continue to give us the ability to communicate and be able to do the things that we need to do to have a marriage that operates in oneness. And understanding, though, that there are times when there may be differences. It's okay to have differences. It's how you deal with it. And we just pray tonight that you have the ability to be able to maneuver through this lesson and allow it to be applied to your lives so that you can make a difference in everything you say, do, and touch. Everything we do on the Blog Talk Radio Show, we want to make sure that we usher in the spirit, knowing, trusting, and believing that everything we do, we have to do by putting God first. And we want to just ask him to go before us and allow us an opportunity to bring forth a wonderful service tonight. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I want to first say thank you. Thank you so much for another day. Thank you for the 19th day of September 2022, a day we've never seen before. We'll never see this day again. But Lord God, I want to personally say thank you for giving it to us in our right minds, with the activity of our limbs. And I just want to ask right now, Lord God, that you go and just be with us in every decision that we must make. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus in our goings and our comings that you would bless us, Lord God. I pray for each and every individual on the sound of my voice, for those that are still yet single, waiting patiently on you, Lord God, to bless them with their soulmate. I pray for those that are engaged, ready to be married, that you will allow them that time, Lord God, to still yet get to know each other before they say, I do. But we ask that your blessing be up on them. We pray for those that we know are in holy matrimony now, Lord God, and they just need some direction from you. They don't know which way to go. Right now, Lord God, there's some turmoil. And whatever it may be, Lord God, we know there's nothing too hard for you. So I pray that you be with each and every individual that you've allowed to be joined together in holy matrimony, that you let us all be able to work together, understand one another, respect each other, and be able to be there for each other. And I just pray that you continue to bless the unions that you strategically put together. I pray for Minister Jesse tonight, and I thank you for that husband, man, that he is to me. And I pray that you, Lord God, pour back into him everything that he pours into us. Let his mind be open and let him be able, Lord God, to receive from you. And then I thank you that through simplicity, he will bring it forth for each and every one of us. Be with all of our family members. So many are going through right now. Heal the bodies of those that need you today. Bless us all immensely, Lord God. I continually thanking you right now, Lord God, for all the many blessings that you've already bestowed upon us and that you will continue. Thank you once again for allowing me to open up this prayer and usher you in, Holy Spirit, because we need you every step of the way. So have your way, Holy Spirit. Be all that you need us to be. Be our mouthpiece. And we want to say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, amen. Let us say amen once again. We praise God and thank God for my wife, my queen, a best friend, a workout partner. No, we haven't been hitting the gym like we have in the past, both due to the gym being under retrofitting and also some of these challenges that we've been dealing with, or I've been dealing with this sciatica. But we praise God and thank God that we're believing that we're going to get back on track. He's also been transitioning to a new opportunity in the career. So we really believe that next week we'll get back in that groove. So we praise God and thank God for each and every one of you for joining us this evening. We are almost into fall, my goodness. And it's going to be 90 the next 3 days in the ATL. Can you believe it? But the humidity is lower. So in actuality, it's really kind of comfortable. I know some of you that may be in the northern part of this nation may say, you must be crazy if you think 90 degrees with any kind of humidity is comfortable. But I must say, it is. It's comfortable. Now, we also know when we mature, we can deal with heat a little bit better as well, that we develop this dislike for the cold. But it does feel pretty good. It's been feeling pretty good the last few days with this low humidity. Weather has been just marvelous. Also, before we get going tonight, I want to send congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces, who won the Women's NBA Championship yesterday against Connecticut. It was a great game for any of you that enjoyed watching women's basketball. And, of course, we try to give it a plug every time we can, given that our daughter is still playing in college. So we've seen, of course, a whole lot of games. And I tell you what, those young ladies, they're getting better and better. I mean, the number that are getting better and better. They always were excellent players in women's basketball, but the number of excellent players now is outstanding. So if you haven't had an opportunity to watch women's basketball, you've got a college season coming up, you've got a high school season coming up, and a middle school season coming up. You may put it on your calendar after football is done, go and check out some of these young ladies and see their game, because they're really doing some wonderful things on the basketball court. Oneness demands leadership. And we know that that word demands is a pretty powerful, pretty strong word. But we said that on purpose, because when we begin to look at what demand is about an insistent request. You know, it's authoritative. It's like it's a requirement almost. You must do this. It's like if any of us have ever been stopped for a traffic violation, and the officer comes up there and says, may I have your license and registration, whatever, he would hardly ask you for the registration anymore, but for your license, that's a demand being placed on you. When we think about going out and buying something, when there are a lot of people having a demand for a particular item, for a particular good, then, of course, what happens? The price goes up. It goes up. When the demand is high and the supply is low, the price goes up. And it's the reverse when the demand is low, or when we may say the supply is low. So oneness demands. Now see, in this situation, in oneness here, it's not like supply-demand fundamentals. That's where it breaks down. The demand that we are speaking of is where each spouse is a leader in the needs and the desires of the other spouse. And that's what oneness demands. It demands a deliverable as a leader, knowing that my leadership is satisfying and taken care of and being aware of the needs of my spouse. There is a demand on me to fulfill those needs. And when I'm able to fulfill those needs, the end result is what we call oneness. It's more than marriage. Marriage is simply when two people come together and they go through a ceremony and they may spend an entire life together, but they never experience oneness. They never experience the desire constantly to always be in the presence of their spouse. That yes, they may enjoy sometimes a period of separation when one has to go and do something or conduct some activities to be away, whatever it may be. But true oneness demands a leadership, and we should have put a semicolon, in satisfying the needs of your spouse. It demands it. And we live in a world today where it's pretty difficult to find leaders. Now, I'm going to use an example that I believe is applicable. Right now in the political arena, we hear that the Democrats want to know if President Joe Biden has a desire to run again. He already was the oldest ever elected president. He was even older than Ronald Reagan. And there's a question whether or not the former President Donald Trump, if he doesn't go to jail for something, that he too. And we have so many members of the Congress that are in their 80s or late 70s. So someone asked the question, why are these people still even involved? And some said the simple answer is because in their own mind, in their own way of looking at the world, is demanding them to be involved and to be part of leadership because there are so few who really want to be in leadership. Some would say the reason for that is because they have made errors or mistakes, or perhaps in that political arena, there are those that may have something on them that seems to be so childish when you think about it. The grown men, the grown women will be worrying about whether or not someone has something on them. But isn't that true? Sometimes in marriage, the one spouse may make a mistake, may do something that the other spouse deems as being inappropriate. And for a period of time, one spouse may use that as advantage over the other. See, that's really not leadership. Leadership that we're speaking of here is leadership where you are committed to satisfying the needs and the desires. And you will go out of your way to learn, to become effective, to do whatever that is required to make sure you discover and you realize oneness. See, we have it twisted today. Too often today we think, feel, and believe that if my spouse loves me, then they will do anything for me. And in reality, they will if you have the same mindset. It's a bilateral reality. It's a mutual reality. Leadership, again, today, it appears to be so weak that instead of us as citizens again in this country to have a mind of leadership, we see what those in leadership positions have to deal with, be it in the political arena, you know, be it in the clergy, be it in any form of leadership, that when you're in that position, you will have arrows pointed at you. You will have those who are constantly doing everything they can to find, well, the same holds true in our marriages. You have some that believe they must find fault instead of sometimes looking in the mirror and asking oneself, what can I do to be more effective as a leader in relationship to satisfying the needs and desires of my spouse? And you know what happens? The law of reciprocity must kick in. Law of reaping and sowing is that at some point in time, you're going to so fully saturate your spouse with your kindness, with your goodness, with your gentleness, with your peace and patience, with your love, with just your self-control, that they won't be able to do anything but reciprocate. That's leadership. Leadership different than what the world may see. The world simply see leadership being an act of leading or an act of commanding all the time. No, that's what the world sees leadership as. But in the confines of marriage, leadership is really different. It's based on your willingness to be of service to your spouse. So we ask the question, what is good leadership in general and then in marriage? We can attempt to draw a parallel. I mean, good leadership is going to be a person that has the understanding that everything they do and everything they say is being watched and being examined and analyzed by whoever they are leading. Well, the same holds true on that situation in marriage, but from slightly different perspectives. Because see, in marriage, as a leader, you sometimes will take the sacrifice instead of where in a combat situation, in a military situation, you have the lower rank that may go out in front. But see, in marriage, you have to be willing to be the sacrifice yourself, the living sacrifice, similar to what we read in that 12th chapter of Romans, that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And now when we think about marriage and we think about making sacrifices, there may be times in your marriage where you've got to sacrifice a lot of things that you personally desire, that you want to do, that you want to see happen. But God may have you for that period of time saying, no, you need to sacrifice now. You need to do this now. You need to be under this particular challenge now. And your leadership and your success in leadership is going to be determined by how well you service your spouse. That's why the vow says, till death do us part. So until that takes place, it's very difficult. And I thank God that I have been able to see up close and personal people who have shown and validated leadership in marriage. Leadership that indeed validated that relationship was grounded in oneness. When a spouse is sick and a spouse can't do for themselves, and that other spouse will make sure whatever their needs may be, that they're taking care of those needs, because they're going to do that. They're going to be a leader in taking care of those needs. And that may require, may mean, they get someone to get some help. It may mean they do it, then whatever it may be, they're going to make sure that need is taken care of. See, sometimes leadership in marriage is difficult to identify because, see, the world does not have an understanding about this thing we call oneness. We see people making fun of marriage so much in general that when a man or a woman goes out of their way to do for their spouse, then the world sometimes may want to say they're weak. They don't understand. Why do they always seem to let the wife get away or the husband get away with this? They're looking at it the wrong way. Because, see, that husband or that wife, they're really implementing God's plan of leadership in marriage. He said a man and a woman, but they're going to leave their mother and their father. They're going to come together, and they're going to cleave together. They're going to become one flesh. They will experience oneness. See, leadership in marriage, we believe, it requires courage. It requires faith in your own social skills, your capabilities. And see, faith in marriage is an acquired asset that you can continue to increase its value. As you develop skills and improve skills to satisfy the needs and desires of your spouse, you yourself will begin to grow. And as you grow, your leadership and your leadership capability will become obvious to others. See, sometimes in the world, you'll hear people say things like, oh, when they first got married, he was a lot more aggressive when he said something, or he was a lot more aggressive when she said something. But now, you know, he says something and he's just mellow, or vice versa. But what people don't understand is that you have developed leadership skills and you have developed an understanding that you want your spouse to see the image of God in you. Because if your spouse can see the image of God in you, guess what? They too may change. And we all going to miss it sometimes. None of us are perfect. We will miss it. But when we're able continue to practice being a leader in marriage, fueled by the desire to satisfy the needs and the desires of your spouse, your leadership skills and capabilities will grow and they will increase. Now, I'm going to tell you what the challenge is in the flesh. The challenge is in the flesh. Is when one or both of the spouses begin to mature, they begin to age, they begin to have issues in their body, they begin to have issues in their mind. And quite naturally, it's a natural, a little frustrated, become, you know, asking themselves questions about, wow, what's going on here? But those that I have asked who have been in those situations, they have also shared that some of their greatest pleasures and greatest moments of happiness and fulfillment has been when they were able to do something for their spouse, when their spouse was in need. The marriage in the leadership thereof is so important because younger marriages, younger generations, younger couples who desire to be married, they need to be able to see examples of couples who personify, who amplify and magnify oneness to the fullest, who actually adhere to godly precepts and principles. That's what we must do. That's why, unfortunately, today we have such a loss in the confidence of marriage. There's such a loss. And when we have that loss in the confidence of marriage, people don't get the full idea. People don't begin to understand what's required and what is needed to make sure you have oneness. But we want to encourage you always to learn the skills, the humility of what leadership in marriage is all about. We're going to take a short pause, play a short song for a moment, and we'll come back and conclude there, perhaps hear from someone else tonight on this subject matter, oneness.
Ain't no man. Sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
So true, so true. My brother Bill Withers from many years ago. Some of you young folks may not even remember BW. But that song is so powerful. Ain't no sunshine when she goes away. Ain't no sunshine when he goes away. When you're really walking in that oneness. It's just something about being around them. Even if you have a disagreement on something. Even if something where it happens, it creates a little bit of whatever, illusionary discontent. It just seems something is not right. You're not complete when you walk in oneness. So when you look at this leadership piece, we got to begin to know and understand the impression marriage in general overall is now having on our young people and on society in general. We are more likely to see divorce than success in marriage. But I shared this with someone this weekend. We were speaking and chatting once again about Leroy Alexander Store because his birthday passed. Would have been 97 years old. My youngest adopted sister, sent out a picture showing my mother and my father kissing, and she was in their arms and just looking like, what are you all doing? But it brought back a lot of memories. And I remembered the leadership that he gave us. And that leadership was so powerful that one of the things that I never realized until I really thought about it. You know, his love and the oneness that I experienced growing up, I didn't call it oneness then, didn't know what it was. But at the end of the day, it was so powerful. You know, marriage is what I believe in. Marriage is what Tammy believes in because She didn't know it either, but she came up and she saw that same level of oneness now having a mother, and I'm going to say adopted father, although it may not be legal, has been together now over 50 years. And see, right before that, we had been fortunate enough to be on a teleconference with the McCoys, who've been married for 65 years. So see, there are examples around us of people who have learned to execute, illustrate, and walk in leadership by virtue of their oneness, who have gone through the trials and the tribulations, the pain, the agony of illusionary differences, days where you may not have been in full agreement, but regardless of whatever it was, you were able to come back and reconcile your differences because you embraced the ministry of reconciliation. Wow, what a powerful thing it is. And yet, our young people and the world, they see more divorce, more separation than they do. And unfortunately, we focus more on the divorce. We focus more on the separation than we focus on those who have been able to figure out, how do I walk this walk? How do we walk this walk? How do I learn to be a leader? And see, a leader in marriage oftentimes may have to appear like the loser, may have to appear like the one that didn't win that skirmish, that battle. But all of that is irrelevant, because what you really want is the vision that you had when you first got married, knowing that the world is going to throw all kinds of things on you. Why? Because of the realities. The realities that we see in the world, the realities that are put in our face, the realities from the past. We may be a son or a daughter, sister or brother that grew up, and the only thing we can remember in when a mother and father was together was agony, or the only thing we can remember when a mother and a boyfriend or a father and a girlfriend or mother and a fiance or father, whatever it may have been, it's been chaos, agony, pain, suffering. And so when we have a disagreement, I've heard brothers say to me, and I've heard sisters say, oh, I just can't stand to debate. I can't stand it if this happens or that happens. And so oftentimes it gets ill-defined as being a problem where the only thing that may have been a disagreement or misalignment was a specific situation, not everything. And so over the course of time, we all mature and grow and come to know and understand, oh, that's just an isolated situation that should not be the catalyst for me to determine if and when and how I feel about my spouse. That's why today, when people talk, most of the time they only speak on those negatives. Think about those bad things. And we've heard it said many times. You know, you can do a whole lot of good. You could have done 10 things good, but one thing happened bad, or was considered as bad, and now you got to start that 10 all over again. You go back to square one. It shouldn't be that way. And we know it won't probably ever hold the same weight, a mistake versus doing something good. I say mistake because, honestly, I don't believe anybody sits down and premeditatively say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something that I know will disrupt my marriage. I don't believe that. I believe the process is something takes place because there's been some disgruntlement in the relationship. Something's happened in the relationship And now all of a sudden, one or the other begins to change how they deal with their spouse. And now as they do, they begin to become cold. Like the words say, they wax cold. They become frigid. And when all of that happens, all of a sudden the enemy can begin to put things into play, to put things into motion. And all of a sudden, you're meditating on something, you're thinking on something. The word has already told you that if you meditate on both day and night on something, you're going to become successful and have prosperity in that, whatever it is. And so oftentimes, our memories of the past are the things that damage us most and prevent us from being true leaders in our marriage. Sometimes we listen too much to our friends because we tell our friends too much about our marriage. See, if we all could take a vow and say, I vow not to say anything but edification about my spouse. I'm not going to go and say anything negative. The only person I'm going to say something negative to about my spouse is the Most High. I'm gonna confess, I'm gonna complain, I'm going to cry, whatever it may be, to the Most High. And then I'm gonna ask God to give me an understanding. Once again, here's leadership. What can I do to become a better spouse? What can I do to be a better leader in oneness in this relationship, in this marriage? Not praying, would you change my husband? Would you change my wife? Would you have them see it my way? Would you have, no, you want to be a leader. What can I do to be a better spouse? And see, we may never get there. We never become that perfect, that good and acceptable and perfect. We never become it. But if it's our prayer, if it's our desire, that we become as good as we can, that we're praying that we become the best. We're not praying that our spouse becomes the better, because if we become the better, once again, the law of reciprocity is going to take place. We all, especially everybody that's on here, we believe in God. We believe in marriage. Those who be married believe in the same. And so we have to pray that we change. And as we change, guess what? We'll still change in our spouse. But if we're not willing to pray that God strengthens us and make us better, and I'm going to say it, if you're praying all the time and your prayer is that your spouse become better, and you're never praying that you become better, then you already are praying inappropriately. Your prayer should be for you to become better. Because then when you become better, guess what? They're not going to have a choice, because the law of reciprocity, the law of reaping and sowing, will say they must change. They will change. It may not happen overnight, but you just keep perfecting you. You keep perfecting your leadership. You keep doing everything you can to be the better you. And over the course of time, the word promises that they will change. Now, if there's some knuckleheads and don't change, then you still leave it to God. You then pray for them. You pray for them to have a better understanding. You pray for them to have a better enlightenment. You pray for them to have greater sensitivity. But you constantly pray for you to be the best you can be. Now, I know most of us, we have no problem to the flesh. We have no problem being able to say, hey, I'm justified by what I do. I'm justified by what I say. And you're probably right. But you're not right based on how God set it up. Because God already said, hey, forgiveness, 70 times 7. I'm like, well, I don't get it. You say you believe in the word. That's what the word said. You want to debate? Debate God when you get to heaven. You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, you have a heavy emphasis when you look at the word leader You know, in the Old Testament, you find most of the references to leaders. Matter of fact, in the New International Version, you got 190 references to leader, and in the New Testament, 46. And the interesting part, of course, if you wanted to go study this, in Numbers, it's the most heaviest laden chapter, a book, rather, in the Word of God is speaking about leader. Be an interesting study sometime to go and see how we translate and transfer that over. Many of the men of God were told that they couldn't do things by themselves. That's just like no leader can do by themselves. And see, in marriage, you have a situation where there's a possibility of bilateral leadership because there are going to be times when one or the other will have the experience to be the leader in various situations. But I want to not forget also that I have my queen. She happens to be out of town, not in the studio again tonight. But I know she's going to have a word to say. I want to say a few more things, a few more comments before I ask her to come and share as well. See, there is a need today, brothers and sisters. One I want you to think about as we come to these last few minutes. You know, there seemed to be an unwillingness that's emerged, an unwillingness to take the mantle required for leadership in marriage. That instead, I hear so many people looking for a way out. It's like so many people, like a keeper of the list or keeping track of what a spouse may say or do. I really don't believe that's God's plan. You know, he speaks of edification. You know, he speaks of lifting up. You know, there's no scripture that says keep track of everything your spouse does wrong. There's no scripture that will say that. Now, we know there are scriptures that speak on infidelity, but there are still none that just say keep a list of everything that he or she may do so then at the appropriate time you can get rid of them. We have to commit ourselves to this process so we can take that mantle because it's necessary for our young people. In this current dispensation, it's necessary for them to see real life example of people, two people who are able, who are willing to demand leadership of themselves. And when they're willing to demand leadership of themselves, something happens. Their whole world changes because then they are now committed to doing everything they can to make sure that leadership is going to spice up that marriage. Well, Queen, I'm going to open up your mic and ask you to come and share whatever God has placed on your heart to your heart's content, and then pray us out or whatever. But your mic is open.
Well, thank you, Jesse, and to God be the glory for the teachings of tonight. As always, I just received so much from you. Just thank God tonight that when we think about leadership and when we think about leadership just in general, we think about when we're, you know, in corporate America and we think about how we lead others and we put a lot of thought into it. We get strategic about it. And sometimes we got to just step back and think about how do we really want our marriages to run on a daily basis. We have to really put some effort and some thought into it. When we start a business, we usually go through a series of days, weeks, and sometimes months before we come really truly with the vision as to what we want that business to look like. And when we're going through the courting stages, Jesse, of getting to know one another and understanding who one another is to hopefully get us to the point where we're able to go in to holy matrimony, that's when I hope and pray that we are strategically thinking about what we need to do when we think about leadership. And as you spoke about it, where it's the action of leading, it is the person who leads or commands a group or organization, or leading your future spouse. You come together, you put a plan together, and then we always have to understand and respect that we want to hear from the wife or wife-to-be, because we know it's important, because God created us as a helpmate. So we have a word in season to share and to give to help with the relationship that God is strategically putting together. And so when you come together and think about how do you really see our marriage in 5 years from now? How do you see it in 10 years from now? And we do the same thing with businesses, but we lack in that area of writing down things. Rebecca 2:2 tells us, Jesse, write it down, make it plain, so that at the appropriate time you will be able to run with it. We don't know everything that our marriage is going to entail. As soon as we get married, 99.9% of the time, most of us don't have kids. But that is something that we know is part of that strategic plan in our family to be fruitful and multiply, that we want that. So as a leader, you talk about that. When do you want that? You know, what? How many children may you want? And so it doesn't matter what it is in marriage that we're doing. It's, are you putting the work into it to plan for it? Are you being the leader, husbands, that you need to be in your family to bring your family together? And even during courtship and after, once you become one and you leave your mother and father and you cleave as one, are you setting down and are you putting plans together that you know that are achievable to be able to say, okay, this is what I want us to do as a couple, you know, in these next 24 or 36 months? You've got to write it down, make it plain, and do it and stick to it. And if you veer off of it, somebody has to be a leader to bring you back on track and discuss it again. Now, may you have to reevaluate how you're doing it? Absolutely. And there is nothing wrong with that. I just hope and pray, Jesse, that one of the ways that I know that the men can lead their families, I mean, if we think about Ephesians 5:28, it says, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So what are you doing? You're leading through example. You're loving your spouse. You're loving your wife. And so what happens in turns? Normally, when you're giving that much love out, you're loving your wife as you love yourself, you're more than likely going to get all of that back in return. And I hope and pray that we all come together, that we recognize, we know, and we understand that we all can make a difference in the way our marriages are going. If we don't like the way that it's going in a given time frame, we can come back together and reevaluate. And I just hope and pray that we both, the spouses, the wife and the husband, are able to come together with some strategic leadership to say, this is what I see us in the next 12 months. Shorten it. Try to figure out what is achievable and start achieving some of those smaller goals so that then you can create the larger goals and you can watch and see how God will operate in your marriage. You can do it. You have what it takes, but you have to take time. You can't go home after work and go to sleep or go home and get under, you know, in your lazy boy and start watching the news. You can't do things that is going to take you from planning how you want your marriage to be. And so I hope and pray that you all have an opportunity to be able to come together and understand the importance of time management and be the leaders that God has called you to be, because one does demand leadership. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I just want to thank you for this awesome man of God. I want to thank you once again for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to declare and decree your word upon each and every individual under the sound of our voices. I thank you tonight for Minister Jesse and all that he has done in pouring, Lord God, nuggets into us that gives us the ability to go out and research it even more and become, Father, the leaders that you've called us to be for such a time as this for our marriages. I pray right now, Lord God, that whatever it is that we stand in need of, you would meet us in our time of need. Bless us, watch over and keep us until we see you face to face. Minister Leah is coming. And I pray, Lord God, that you bless everything she puts her hands to. Give her an opportunity to be a blessing to her audience, Lord God, that you will minister to. Father, and I just thank you for all of those that have joined us tonight, that they will hang up and call back in at 8 o'clock to join her ministry gifts as well. We want to say thank you once again for this day and every day. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Agape love.